We're going to be reading in three different places. It says in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in the 15th verse, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Then we're going to turn to Galatians, 1st chapter. And it says in the 10th verse, this chapter, it'd do us well to read all of it. The same with the 2nd chapter in 2 Timothy. We'll get home sometime this week. And then it goes on to say, Galatians 1st chapter, the 10th verse, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." All right, that was Galatians. That's once again Paul speaking to the Galatians. We heard what he had to say there to Timothy. Then we're going to read the words of Christ. It says in St. John, the 6th chapter, in the 63rd verse, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." You know, a lot of times I think we get guilty of maybe looking at the world, maybe looking at fellow Christians and thinking that they might think like us. I guess a preacher, that's one thing, that a congregation, if they listen to him very often, that they begin to understand how that man thinks. Because he has to, a lot of times when the message is given and he preaches, it speaks a lot about that particular preacher. It lets you know a lot about him. And Daryl's one that doesn't want to continue to make the same mistakes over and over. Daryl's one that when he makes a mistake, he wants to learn from it. I think that anyone that's sincere in the ways of God are the same in their Christian life. I know some people, when it comes to the things in this life, speaking of the carnal, that they just seem to not be able to get together and get anything accomplished for making the same mistake over and over again. But in order for us to learn anything, we have to learn from our mistakes. I know that we teach our children. I'm sure that there's not a person here that has children of any age that's not told their children that you're not to talk to strangers. I don't know, maybe you've even said, or you should, that you never get in a car with a stranger because they might steal you away, and you really don't know how much to tell a little child because this world's so wicked, but you want to communicate to them that, listen to me, don't you ever get in a car with a stranger. Don't you ever get in a car with anybody. I maybe put it a little bit broader than that, that you ain't got no business getting in a car with anybody without first talking to your parents. And because of that, we try to tell our children and give them, I guess it was, knowledge or an understanding as little as we can to a little child, that they might understand that there is dangers in life, that they would understand that if they got in a car with a stranger, that bad things could happen. Well, I would hope that no children would have to learn that lesson on their own. I don't think anybody here would say, well, yeah, I might tell my child that, but he might not listen to me, so therefore I'll let him learn it on his own. But you know what? The devil, he's just like that old wicked child molester that tried to steal some kid away in a car. He's got a method of operation. He's got a way in which he comes to the children of God and tries to lure their mind away. The battle today is in our mind. And if we will just study, as the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, we need not be children that are ashamed. We need not to be, the Bible says, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Can you imagine considering yourself
that some woman was greatly offended because her father had built her house. Because a man said, look, the bell that built this, didn't put the tuba floor where it needed to be. She was so puffed up, she got upset, I was told. And she didn't want the drywall hanger back there at the house. That's what was told to me. Why? Because her father was a workman. He was a carpenter. I believe it was said that he raised 6 children by his trade. But still, yeah, there's not a one of us that can't learn. There's not a one of us today that are so all-knowing. I'm not speaking about things of the Lord. I'm speaking about anything that we can't learn something. But we find out that not this man, rather, but even his daughter, she didn't like the thought of him being a workman and being ashamed. I've seen some people, I've seen children try to build something, and they say, look, Papa, what I build. And we see it. And for a child, we can see the beginning of one that might be a builder, but it wouldn't have been what they had constructed. I wouldn't support anything. Why? Because its basic design is flawed. But today, each and every one of us, if we study to show ourselves approved, we will be effective persuaders. The Bible says, I believe it's in Corinthians, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Darrell Hensley don't just want to tell people the truth, but Darrell Hensley wants to persuade men in order that they might be a Christian. The Bible says, I believe it was Paul as well, he said, therefore be fully persuaded in your mind. And I want to be one that can help somebody. I'm not wanting to tell you tonight. I want to tell them what they want to hear. But I want to tell them the truth in a way that they might accept it, even though there are those that would not accept the word, regardless of how it's sin. But let us not dwell on those things. But let us, as Paul said, he said, I become all things to all men in order that I might win them to Christ. What was he talking there? He weren't talking about your average church going mealy mouth, a spineless preacher today. But Paul was what he was referring to, is that he could get that he was able, because he had studied to show himself approved, that he was able to speak to that person on their level. He was able to talk to the Jew and reveal through the Old Testament what the Lord, that Jesus Christ, or that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. Why? Because knowing the terrible Lord, he seen the importance of persuading men. We read in, as we did there in John, the 6th chapter, the 63rd verse, that the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Though when Paul tried to speak to the Greek, he didn't use the Old Testament, did he? But he used nature in itself, that he might bring them to the Holy Scripture. He didn't say, I want to tell you about the Lord and begin about to speak about nature. But he found common ground with them to bring them back to the Word. But why? Because the Word is spirit and it is life. But today I'm afraid there's so many different denominations, there's so many different sects within a denomination, that people have developed the opinion that there is so many different opinions on God's Word. And I guess there is. But opinions don't convict the hearts of men. The Word of God does. And that's why we must study His Holy Scripture, so that His Spirit might bring life to the dead. They don't even believe it. Do you realize the atheist? How it says, and it is a read on in the 64th verse. It says, but there are some of you that believe not. But I'm thankful that there is conviction in God's word. There's no conviction in my opinion. Years ago, as it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, that we can simply say Christians don't do this and that. With any statement, and I don't care what it is today, if you were to make that simple statement that Christians don't do these things, you've got an argument on your hands. Our job is to persuade men. It's not to argue about. Listen over there. We need to declare to them the word of God. We've got an obligation that we might be workmen. And when we stand before the Lord, that we not be ashamed of the job that we've done. That we can say, Lord, I told them my word. My word is spirit. And it is life. And if they choose not to believe it, well then, the Bible teaches me that their blood will be on their hands. So then, can you see the difference between letting them know the truth and tell them the word in such a way that it might be words in the, spoken in the season in which it was said. They don't want to make the same mistake. I look back on my life. And whenever it's there, where I try to share the Lord with somebody, I have to ask myself, but now could you have done it a little different? Not because I'm always second guessing myself, but because the Bible tells me that I need to study to show thyself approved. That's what the Word says, and that's why we need to be more determined each and every time that we come together, that we not make the same mistake when the devil drives up to us and tells us to get in the car. Lord, we'll say, wait a minute. I know the scripture. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His words was the word. He could have told the devil anything. And it would have been the word of God. Amen. But he still yet chose. Let us quote from the written scripture. And why was that? Because it's still yet spirit. And it's life today. And we need not diminish it. Have you been as those that Jesus was talking about in the 6th chapter of John, where it said, and there are those some that would not believe. Have you believed in the word? But yet you find yourself lacking in faith and believing in the power of it and what it can do. What I want to tell you tonight, that if you would trust in God's word or what it is, it is spirit and it is life. And just like no soldier that would ever go to battle without enough ammunition, I've seen it where soldiers will take everything when they're going on a long journey. They'll take everything that is not absolutely necessary in their pack in order so that they might carry one more ammunition. Can you imagine being in a firefight and not having bullets? I don't want to die like that, would you? But I want to make sure that we're out of war with the devil and his children. Let us make sure that we've got the ammunition, and there's more to it than to say, well, Christians don't do that. There's more to it than to say, well, I don't believe that. We need to show them a foundation that we stand on. Otherwise, they won't see that it's any different than they are quaking ground. There's so many church going folk who speak about and stand on. Well, there's some glory in that. Because of the stand that we take in the Bible, it's been said I heard a preacher say, oh, well, you shouldn't have anybody. You should not tell anybody not to come to your church. That was never said. But when you quote the scripture and when you begin to tell people, you don't have to argue with them. You don't have to condemn them. But they know the sin in their life. As we will take this, we've spoke on this many a time here at the place, because I believe that it's something that a lot of people can agree on. And I'll show you the workings of the devil. How does it work? A man we all know killed himself. And the topic was raised. And I begin to quote the scripture. I didn't tell him, well, I don't think somebody that kills himself can get into heaven. Because I have my way of thinking and they have theirs. But I begin to quote the scripture and say that the Bible says that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in hell. Well, the common sinner man said, well, I thought it said something like that in there. And he was walking, he walked off, and he was satisfied. But yet he still had not believed Christ is his Savior. Discussion came up many a time. And I quoted the scripture. And the only one that offered up any argument was a man that was church. A man that had been to school. In order that he might better understand the word. And he said, well, yeah, but there are those that might be crazy. But the Bible says, no murderer has eternal life. And crazy people murder people. Yes, they have. And that's where the crux of the problem was, is that in his ignorance, and his means and ways to understand the situation, in order maybe be able in his mind to persuade people why a person would think like that, he had pursued the truth. We know today that if we get back to the scripture, we need not have a cause. Somebody was there and they heard that. And guess what the discussion ended on being about? It wasn't about that the Word of God said. No murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But that was discussion went from that to that. Crazy people are crazy people responsible for their actions. Well, the Bible didn't address it as such. But he said no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And that's why I would pray that anybody that's in their right mind today come to the Lord and accept them as their personal Savior. Because you don't know when your time might be too late. Do you have an obligation to persuade men? There's not a one of us here tonight that if he were a Christian for very long, understands that there is a method and a means in which the devil comes to us and tempts us. So many times, the devil gets credit for those things that credit does not do him. I know that the weakness of our own flesh at times is what tempts us, and we'd like to blame it on the devil. I've heard testimonies in times past of how somebody would stand up and they begin to talk about how the devil has beat them up all week. But once they begin to speak of the details of what it was their earthly flesh, their lust of their heart, and it really had nothing to do with the devil so much as it was. We know that the Pharisees, they were very religious. They didn't think that you ought to eat things with unwashed hands because it defiled the body. But Jesus Christ, what did He say? He said, that which we eat, that it passes through us. And it's not what defiles the body, He says, but what comes out of the heart of man defiles the body. But you know, the Pharisee wasn't so far from the truth when it comes to spiritual matters. They were talking about the flesh. They were talking about if you eat with filthy hands, it'd make you a filthy person. But Christ Jesus said that it's not that we would eat with filthy hands, but it's what comes from the heart. But I want to tell you, if you fill your mind with filth, sooner or later, filth is what's going to come out of you. It just stands to reason. But that's why we must study to show ourselves approved. That's why we must renew our mind in Christ Jesus. So that when the devil comes, that one of His children, when they come and speak to us, we can tell them more than our opinion, because they'll go away and they'll ask this, a professing Christian at work, and then they'll ask this one, and then they'll ask this one. And if you're trying to live according to the Holy Scripture, your opinion's going to differ a lot of times than all your so-called brothers in Christ. That's why it's our obligation that we persuade men through the Holy Spirit that's in God's Word, so that when they get all the opinions of Christians and they come to you, they'll leave with God's Word and not so much what you believe. Because I'm afraid today, if a foreigner comes out of the state of Missouri, we'll pick on the Free Will Baptist right now, about Christians in general, he can ask a question of 20 different Free Will Baptist ministers, and he's liable to get 20 different answers. Why? Because I'm afraid we've not studied to show ourselves approved. That we are workmen that ought to hang our head in shame. Why? Because we don't see the importance of it. We went, me and Tony went to a Bible, to a summer Bible camp, and a man was giving advice because of what he'd seen in life. I said, I understand how you come to your conclusion. The man that you speak about obviously was very close to you. And it would perplex him to think of ill of that man. I said, but as me as a minister, what scripture can I give? What passage in the Bible can I use as a verse of assurance for your position? And he began to tell me this and that, and he never quoted the scripture of God. I left there understanding one thing and one alone. That man was based his theology and his religion on opinions and not God's holy word. And we have an obligation, not only as ministers, but as children of God, knowing the terror of the Lord, that we persuade men. Have you ever been ashamed of how you tried to witness to somebody that seemed as if you failed miserably? I would hope that we would learn from those lessons. Sometimes when these things come up, we hear other brothers and sisters in Christ give us the same scenario, give us the same, I guess you would say, example. When you feel saddened because you tried to share, have you ever tried to share Christ with someone, and before it was over with, you were discussing something that had nothing to do with that person's eternal existence, whether it be with the Lord or whether it would be without Him.
when you felt that you failed miserably. And you went and you maybe told it to another Christian. And they begin to tell you the same story. I think it would do us well if we would study that particular situation and see how we might have better witnessed to that person. You know, there's some of us that try to witness to people and don't even use the Scripture. But the Bible teaches me that it is a discerner, the intents of our heart. Oh, Darrell, but I used the Scripture. I walked them right down the Romans road. And you know, we're familiar with those passages of Scripture, and that's good. And to speak to a stranger, well, sometimes we are somewhat limited to what we can say. And that's why we have to trust in the leadership of the Lord through His Holy Spirit. But if these are those that have shared their wants in life, their concerns, their desires, their fears, then we should be able to step back from that, even if we've used the Scripture, and be able to get another verse in the Bible as our arsenal. No, we might never have a contact with that person again. So that Solomon said that there is no new thing under the sun. Have you ever met, and not the pigeonhole people, or as the world would say, stereotype people, but you know that there is a lot of people dealt with the same circumstances, a lot of times handle things the same way. We can see two children growing up in a household. It might be the household of a drunk. And we can see two or three children in that very household under those somewhat similar circumstances, and they react to them. If there was three children, they might react to them three different ways. So that's not to say that every person in a particular circumstance acts the same way. But as you get older, you run into people and you think about other people in your life. Do you not? I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit sometimes speaking to us. And we might even say, we see this one in that person. We see that one. How many of us have seen our children? And someone says, boy, if that ain't his father made over. Why is that? I think a lot of times it's much more than their physical characteristics, but it's their demeanor. It's how they handle situations. And the Lord would have us to use all of those things that we might effectively be able to persuade men, that we might understand, that we might, the Bible, where Christ Jesus told us, He said, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Place your burden upon me. They begin to speak of His yoke, that His burden is light. And with all of these things, the Lord Jesus would have us not only to cast our burdens upon Him, but He would have us to go to those that are unable as of yet to trust in the Lord. Maybe I've never seen a Christian live according to the Scripture. I'm afraid too many Christians are way too superstitious. They don't know the Bible. But they say, I won't do this and I won't do that because I don't believe in it. Well, the Bible tells me that I can believe in a lie and be damned. But I want to believe in the truth. That's why we need to get back to the basics that are found in God's Word. That's why our faith must be grounded and founded in the Holy Scripture. So that way, that sinner man who's had his faith maybe shattered by someone that professed to be a Christian, that we can come to them in their hour of need. And they know not that they've got a Savior. But that'll take their burden. That'll take their hurts and heal them. That'll take their own death. A life that they're living in. That we can come to them.
and say, listen, I want you to just lean on my shoulder. I want you to tell your problems. And then when we heal, we might think upon the Word of God. That we might use His Holy Scripture. That it might be a sign to them. That they might be able to look in our face. Although they may have never looked in the pages of God's Word. That they might look in our face. And begin to see Christ Jesus. And know that there was a man that came so long ago. And that He died for them. That, I believe, is what Paul's talking about when he said that He had become all things to all men in order that He might win them to the Lord. I've heard it been said, well, you can tell them God's Word. You can tell them God's Word, but if the Spirit ain't in it, it's not going to do any good. Well, unfortunately, that's error on their part, because the Bible teaches me His Word is Spirit and life. And I understand that a lot of people, when they speak of those things, they speak of an outward appearance upon that person of conviction, maybe, that when they tell them God's a word, that they say, well, the Bible says, and then they begin to give their opinion. Well, that's not Christ's Word. When we paraphrase the Scripture, a lot of times that's good. If somebody is or just simply wanting a question, an answer to a question, we can say, well, the Bible teaches this or this. But if we want to effectively use that which the Lord says is Spirit and life, we're going to make a point to know the Scripture. We're going to make a point if we don't know it. There's been times that somebody will ask me a question and I'll say, well, yes, the Bible teaches that. I can't think of a particular Scripture that I can quote to you, but just let me think on it a little while. And I'll begin to think. There's been times I've got a Bible in my a toolbox at work that the Lord will speak to me, and I have to get it open, and I'll read it, and I don't run to that person with the Bible in hand, but all I have to do, because see, His Word is more than letters on a page. It's Spirit and it's life, and all I have to do is go to that person, and I can say, well, you know what you asked me about. A lot of times they say, well, yeah, it don't matter anymore. Say, well, I got to thinking on it. And you know what the Bible says? And I begin to tell them what God's Word says. And sometimes it's just one or two sentences. And I won't add to it. I won't begin to give them my interpretation of it. I'll just walk off. And I know, because I've trusted in God and in His Word and in Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, that I'm so deceived, and the Lord will see to it that it brings conviction. Glory to God. I don't have to tell people my opinion, as one old man that called himself a preacher did. I don't know how many times he walked around and he told guys they need to quit their drinking and get in church. And I thought, my, that man ain't got a clue. He don't see those people and their iniquity that they're about and their change. There's a lot if they could. They would. There are those that see no need and they have a lust for sin and they're content with it. But I want to tell you today, if it was up to Daryl to quit his sinning and get into church, I'm afraid Daryl would still be out there sinning. But glory to God, I come in church in my sinful rags, in my iniquity, and I begin to hear the preached Word of God. How many of you here can say amen? And it wasn't Daryl, the son. Well, Daryl
I want to turn over a new leaf. But as the preacher, I leaf through the Bible, I've seen that what Darrell needed was more than Darrell had. And if Darrell was going to set free, be set free from the bondage of sin, he needed somebody big enough to break them chains I've been tugging on. And the Lord Jesus done it for me through His blood and His word. And I'm thankful that He loves each and every one of us. Do you want to be a workman? Well, that's a shame. You know, I kind of wonder about that woman that was offended by some simple comment about the ability of the framer or the carpenter that built her house. I don't know. Have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth sometime and said, boy, whoever done this really didn't know what they's doing? And come to find out, it's the person you're talking to. Have you ever done that? Boy, it makes you feel uncomfortable, don't it? But you know, coming from a hillbilly, coming from somebody that the person, I'll have to tell you, there's times I look at a blueprint, and we've got some engineers there where I work. There's several of them. And you know what? I've studied them blueprints enough that when there's a mistake on that blueprint, before I even look down there in the square, you know how every blueprint has a square down there telling you maybe sometimes the name of the part, the tolerances, the company it's made for, and the engineer that designed it. Oh, there's sometimes I see it, or somebody tells me about it, and I'm not going to say who's done it, but I'll say, well, let me guess, oh, so-and-so, they engineered that part, and they said, how'd you know? Well, why? How did I know? I've studied the blueprints over and over, and it seems as if there are some of those that have a weakness, or have an inability to do things right in this particular area. And there's none of us that ain't any different. One behind one belly don't work there anymore. But when I come in and I've seen that the uprights were moved, I always made sure I checked on them to see that they were tied. Because for some reason, old so-and-so couldn't remember the tying them once he moved them. And I had a very valuable lesson. There's a big old dial there. I was running it all night, and every time the platinum come in, I heard a thump. And I know the transmission in this machine has worn out. That it's getting ready to break. Well, guess what the thumping was? The upright on the table weren't tightened down. And every time it went forward, that big old guy said, a rock in the thumping was the upright smacking the table. That learned Darrell a very valuable lesson. That when so-and-so moved his uprights and you come in, you better get a wrench out and check on that. And you know, it wasn't every time that I got my wrench out, I got to use it. I was always happy when I didn't. Because if he had a part up there and it was picked up, and it wasn't tied, I had to go check and make sure everything was all right, that it hadn't moved. But the heart of man, I guess you'd say we're lazy by nature for the most part. It doesn't come easy studying, does it? And my wife, she's teaching our children. We's homeschooling our kids, and I'm not teaching them English, don't worry. That's my wife's job. I know she says some words a little different than I'm used to hearing, but anyhow, Riley ain't no different, none of us. And studying ain't fun. There's that word ain't in it. But anyhow, he's kind of figured out this whole phonics thing. And I can read all right, but anyhow,
he's realized that words, a lot of times, that words that start with A sound like A. And he's thought instead of, because studying gives you a headache. Trying to figure it out gives you a headache. That if he knows the first word, he can guess at it. But if you're not careful, cow becomes cat. Dog becomes, help me out, something else. And we hear him and the shell says, no, right. Sound the word out. And he knows how to do it. And he'll sound it out. Right now, he's just working with three-letter words a lot. You know, a lot of it's just one. Well, they're all just one-syllable words. And if he sounds it out, he gets the word. But it's somewhat amusing if you're sitting off a little ways to hear how interesting a story can soon become because he thinks he's got it figured out because he knows what the word begins with. And I'm afraid it's the way a lot of people running around consider themselves well-versed in God's Scripture. Is they're running around spouting theology and beliefs and doctrines. And they ain't no different than the kid that seen cat. And thought, well, it starts with a C. Must be cow. But to study, something's is not something only that we do in the past, because I went to school and I took English class and it was one of my better subjects. But I guess because of not caring so much about speaking proper grammar, my English skills is probably lacking to a lot of people. And why is that? Because it wasn't sufficient enough for me to learn it as a child. But if I wanted to master the English language, I would probably still yet correct myself when I butchered the English language. You know, a lot of that's perspective. You go over in England and they say all Americans butcher the Queen's language. And that's why, as Christians, we can be so blessed. And though we might develop opinions because of our perspective, we have the roadmap to heaven. Christ Jesus loved us so much that He gave us His Word. So that I not develop a perspective and an opinion because of what county I lived in, but that I have a full understanding of who God was because of the Bible that I read. Let's get some song to sing. Have you studied to show thyself approved? Oh, there are some that would like to think, I know that it's been said, well, he told me, but the Spirit wasn't in it. You know, there are groups, there's congregations, there's people that I don't know what it would mean. If you tell them the Holy Scripture, and they go away and they say, well, yeah, he told me, but the Spirit wasn't in it. I've heard people say, well, yeah, but if that's true, why don't I feel convicted? You know what? A dead person ain't got no feelings. And that's why each and every one of us, we need to use the Word of God, which is Spirit and life. If there's a dead person, the only thing that can bring them to is Christ Jesus and His wonderful Word. So we need not to be worrying about persuading men or God. We need to focus on men. You know, I think there's a lot of people go to church work all their life, as we read here, do we persuade men or God? And they spend their whole life trying to persuade God. It's just a waste of time. We need to accept God for who He is and what He said. Might we be effective ambassadors to this world?